欢迎收听由劳动部劳动力发展署委托制播的菲律宾 Tagalog 语节目及广告，宾至如归，飞向马尼拉。
Ang programang Feel at Home ka dito ay handog ng Ministry of Labor, Workforce Development Agency at binuo ng Taiwan Broadcasting Company. 宾至如归，飞向马尼拉。Manila sa Taiwan, Feel at Home ka!
Mga kababayan, magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Ang pinapakinggang ho natin programa ngayon ay Feel at Home ka dito. Ako po si kaibigan Jay. Kanina ba nanood kayo ng live show sa Netflix? Pinanood nyo ba si Mr. Alex Honnold? Siya yung isang skyscraper. At kaninang umaga nga, nagsimula siya talaga sa ground floor, paakyat sa Taipei 101. So alam mo ba, pinanood ko tong simula niya hanggang sa nakaakyat siya dun sa pinaka-top. Hindi yung sa top na hanggang pwede natin marating ha, dun sa Taipei 101 na merong mga picturean, tapos merong mga restaurant, hindi doon. Dun siya talaga sa pinaka-top na merong dulo ng parang needle at nahawakan niya rin yung pinaka-top talaga ng 101. Alam niyo na very amazed ako dito sa ginawa niyang desisyon. Kasi sabi nga niya, hindi daw ito first time na nag-request siya mag-crime sa 101. Kung hindi, talagang ngayon taon lang siya pinayagan na mag-umakyat. At dahil nga siya ay isang world-renowned American rock climber na kilala sa free solo climbing. At dahil famous siya at nakita din ng CEO ng Taipei 101 na meron siyang family. So, inisip niya hindi naman talaga siya ay nagjo-joke-joke lang o kaya gusto niya magpakamatay, mag-suicide dun sa 101. Hindi. So, talagang decision niya yan ay matagal na at napakarami niyang practice. Dahil previous na history niya kung saan lugar na siya or saan mountain na siya na nakapag-climb. So, hindi to first time. Kaya tuloy din na pinayagan na siya finally this year, 2026, na mag-climb dito sa 101. So, umabot siya ng total 91 minutes, 1 hour and 31 minutes ang nagamit niyang panahon umakyat sa taas. During this period, nakita ko ay maski parang feeling niya ay naka-easy lang siya, pero sa totoo lang deep inside his heart na siya ay nanonervous din, na natatakot din, or baka once meron siyang ibang matapakan at mahulog na lang siya kagad, ganun. So wala kasi siyang any tali na nakatali sa katawan niya, no? So kung talagang merong isa lang mali sa kanyang step, mahuhulog na siya talaga pababa. So yun din ang kinakatakot ng lahat ng mga tao, pero finally, umabot siya nga sa taas. At naisip niya itong pangyayaring to at pinlano niya ay matagal na. So parang feeling ko ito itong isang na gusto niya marating sa kanyang his life during itong panahon na to. Yung bang meron ka talagang isang bagay na gusto mo ma-achieve sa once in your lifetime. Siyempre, hindi lahat ng tao kayang i-decide gawin ito, pero na kaya niya na isipin at gawin, yun ang pinaka-importante doon. Yung bang meron siyang action na talagang tinry niya makiusap at gusto niya gawin talaga at talagang nagawa niya na. So palakpakan natin talaga to si Mr. Alex Honnold. Na-nervous ako nung nanonood ako at pinapawisan yung paa ko maski nasa TV ako. What if kung ako yung asawa niya na nasa side lang, sigurado hindi ko kaya tanggapin na nakikita siya ng ganyan. So, napakalakas din ang loob siguro ng asawa niya na pinayagan siya gumawa ng ganyan bagay. Siyempre, no? Kung halimbawa mawala na siya, di sabihin sino na magtrabaho dun sa family niya. Eh, samantala meron pa siyang mga dalawang anak na maliit na bata pa lang. So, ito ay gusto ko sabihin sa mga kababayan natin na once dinecide mo, gawin mo at pakita mo yung action mo. Yun talaga ang very amazed ako sa mga ganyan klaseng tao. Okay, balik na tayo sa ating mga programa dahil marami akong kukwento sa inyo. Dahil simula nung January 1st, ang Ministry of Labor, dati ang tawag natin ay Intermediate Skill Worker or tinatawag ng Mid-Skill Worker. Ngayon, iba na ang kanilang tawag. Ang tawag na sa kanila ngayon ay mga dayuhan technical na manggagawa. At ang white-collar job ay naging mga dayuhang professional. So, ito yung napaka-short na term na finally, ito ay decide na nga ng Ministry of Labor na itong gawin pangalan sa kanila. Para sa akin, mas normal ito kasi sino bang mag-iisip ng intermediate, diba? So, mabuti na meron silang ganyan na term sa Chinese na tinatawag mga dayuhang technical na manggagawa. Okay? So, itong mga dayuhang technical na manggagawa, pagdating nila sa medical checkup, alam nyo kasi ang mga intermediate na sila ay wala ng years limit, diba? Hindi na sila tinitignan o binibilang yung kanilang pagtatrabaho dito sa Taiwan. Ibig sabihin, pwede na silang lumampas ng 12 years or 14 years, katulad ng mga caretaker kung sila ay intermediate nga, yung nga tinatawag nating dayuhan technical na manggagawa, sila ay lumampas na sa 12 years or 14 years. Ngayon, ang kanilang health checkup kailangan pa rin still i-maintain pa rin. So, kung normal na workers tayo, from ating pagdating sa Taiwan, within 3 days, di ba, kailangan magpa-check up na tayo. And then, binibilang na yung ating 6 months, 18 months, and 30 months. Pero kasi pag once naging mga dayuhan technical na manggagawa, tayo ay lumampas na ng 14 years mahigit. So, merong dalawang klase options para dito sa medical checkup nila. So, halimbawa, ito ay Category 3 na foreign workers dumating sa Taiwan. Isa ay manggagaling sa ibang bansa, let's say sa Pilipinas. Or isa ay nasa Taiwan na siya at in-upgrade na lang sila ng kanilang employers. So, dalawang klase ito. Kung halimbawa kayo ay nanggaling sa Pilipinas, hinard kayo ng mga previous nyong employers, mangyayari dyan ay, syempre, bago kayo dumating, meron kayong mga medical checkup na sa Pilipinas at kayo ay magpapamedical dun sa mga accredited na ng TECO na medical clinic or medical hospital. Plus, pagdating nyo dito sa Taiwan within 3 days, kailangan pa natin mag-medical ulit within 3 days nga. And then, continuous nila natin bilangin pang 6 months, 18 months, at 30 months. Yun. Pero doon naman sa mga workers natin na in-upgrade na lang dito sa Taiwan, hindi na sila umuwi ng Pilipinas, hindi sila hinard ng kanilang company from the Philippines. Ibig sabihin, nandito na sila sa Taiwan, continuously, tuloy-tuloy ang kanilang trabaho sa Taiwan. Kung yun yung mga workers na yun, mangyayari, magiging second category na sila. Second category, from third category, magiging second category workers, foreign workers. Or sila ay pwede ding halimbawa nanggaling sila sa estudyante at nag-graduate sila, sila ay pareho din ng same level sa second category workers, foreign workers sa Taiwan. Yun ay chinecheck na kung sila ba ay within 3 years kung meron ba silang medical check-up na record. Kasi kung wala, kailangan na nila magpa-medical check-up kasi continuous pa rin yung ating 6 months, 18 months, 30 months. Ngayon, kung halimbawa kayo ay caretaker o kaya tinatawag na multiple companion care service worker. So, itong multiple companion care service worker, sila ay nagwo-work dun sa mga long-term care services dun sa 1966. So, pwede silang ang kanilang employer mismo, ang government, and then nandun sila sa isang lugar. Kung merong kailangan sa kanilang tumulong, mag-alaga, pupunta sila dun sa mga bahay-bahay. So, hindi lang ang employer niya magiging isang employer, kung hindi ang employer nila ay yung government mismo, yung nga yung long-term care service. And then, kailangan nila every 3 years magpa-check ng chest x-ray para makita nga kung merong mga tuberculosis. At every 3 years nga, meron silang medical check-up. At doon naman sa mga factory workers, babalik na sila doon sa occupational health and safety requirements. So, itong mga medical check-up, kung mga details nito, pwede kayo mag-inquire sa 1-855 dahil meron mga question and answer dito sa medical check-up ng second category workers at gaano ka often kailangan din na magpa-medical check-up at ano yung mga papa-check-up nila. So, for more details, pwede kayo tumawag sa 1-855 or mag-research sa website. Pwede nyo hanapin sa fw.wda.gov.tw. Dahil ito ay simula ng January 1st nga, itong ating intermediate ay at saka yung mid-skill worker magiging mga dayuhan technical na manggagawa. Okay ba? At ito pong programa namin ay handog sa inyo ng Ministry of Labor, Workforce Development Agency of Binunan Taiwan Broadcasting Company. Ko'y malungkot na naman, umuwi-chiko na ako. Ilang tagay na hindi pa rin tulog. Tanong ko lang sa langit kung bakit kumangin. Noong dati masaya, ngayon pa na'y problemang bumabalot sa buto. Bakit ganito ang pag-ibig? Ganyan talaga, pagbago pa ang pag-ibig. Ganyan talaga, masaya.
Topics. Ito ang nilalaman ng mga sasabihin.
Mga kababayan, sa loob ng isang oras nating programa, ang una-unahon yung mapapakinggan ng policy at regulations ay
Enhance Employer and Foreign Worker Awareness of Personal Data Protection. There are three key points.
Number two, so how best to combat influenza? Number three, after natin mag-entry dito sa Taiwan ng 14 days, i-check natin kung tayo ay merong dengue. Number four,
about monkeypox.
Number five, how to resolve labor dispute in court. So itong mga aming naibabanggit sa inyo na policies at regulations ay galing po sa Ministry of Labor. Kung kayo ay gusto nyo pa malaman ng more than that, pwede ho nating bisitahin ang Ministry of Labor website mismo or pwede kayo mag-message sa aming fanpage sa Feel at Home ka dito ni Kaibigan Jay. At another sources na gusto nyo ho malaman, pwede ho nyo hingiat ng consultation, tawag lang po tayo sa 1-955. Kaya stay tuned lang mga kababayan, wag ho kayo aalis, pakinggan lang ho itong aming programa sa Feel at Home ka dito.
What should you do when you receive a summons? What should you be aware of when you're in court? Welcome to this segment on defendants in criminal litigation. Let us answer your questions. Understanding the summons. After receiving the summons, Which parts should you pay particular attention to? First, you should note the contact details of the court and the clerk in charge. Once you're at the courthouse, you'll give your case number to court personnel so they can check on your case. The cause of action refers to the type of criminal litigation on the basis of the facts. The time of arrival indicates the time the proceedings are scheduled to begin. Note the location of the proceedings, including the courtroom number, to avoid going to the wrong place on that day. The branch ID is the branch the court has appointed to hear your case. The type of session reveals what the court is prepared to do on the court date. The most common sessions are preliminary proceedings and trial proceedings. When the case comes to court, the preliminary proceedings will begin, and the court will confirm if the defendant has admitted guilt in the answer to the complaint, and whether they have appealed to investigate the investigation evidence. After the preliminary proceedings have concluded, a date will be chosen for the trial, with cross-examinations and oral arguments, where each side will present their case. The most important thing is that you need to offer up a response or evidence within the stated time frame or appoint a lawyer to defend you. You should attend in person unless you have a valid reason not to. If you receive a summons and don't attend, what will happen? The consequences are very serious. If you don't appear on time without a valid reason, the court will issue a warrant for the police to arrest you, or you'll be listed as wanted by the police. What should I do if I can't attend court on the designated date? If the case involves a non-serious crime, in principle, you can appoint an agent ad litem to attend court for you. If you are unable to attend court due to illness or a business trip, please remember to apply to the court for leave before the court date and attach evidentiary documents. If the court approves, you can then take leave. What if you take issue with anything listed in the complaint mailed to you by the prosecutor? You can submit a written defense to the criminal complaint before the court date or on the same day. Or, on the court date, you can give an oral statement in court. A little reminder. If you need to consult examples of a written criminal defense, you can visit our website, and our AI customer service assistant can help you. Just enter written defense in the search box, and you'll find templates and examples to use as a reference. How can I appoint someone to defend me? You can appoint a lawyer to defend you, a statutory agent, a spouse, or a third-degree relative can also independently retain a defense attorney for you. After appointing your defender, you need to sign a power of attorney for criminal action form and submit it to the court. Will the court appoint a public defender or lawyer for me for free? In certain situations, if you have not chosen a defender, the court will appoint one for you. For example, in cases in which the minimum punishment for criminal responsibility is a fixed-term imprisonment of not less than 3 years, or in cases of civil strife, treason, obstructing diplomatic relations, Article 7(1) of the National Security Law and its attempted crimes, and crimes specified in Items 1 to 3 of Article 8. If defendants are suffering from a mental illness or disorder, or are mentally challenged and are unable to effectively express their opinion, or they're indigenous or from a low-income background, the court will appoint a lawyer for them. Preparing for court. The day you are set to appear in court arrives. If the court has agreed to remote proceedings, please refer to the Remote Court Proceedings Handbook in advance. For more information, you can scan the QR code in the top left corner. The courtroom is a solemn place, so if you do attend in person, please take care to dress appropriately to show you take your own rights seriously. On that day, remember to bring the summons, your ROC ID card, or other identification, and any documents listed on the summons. Ideally, you should register your attendance at the court early, giving yourself time to find the courtroom. Please make use of public transportation when possible. Don't forget to log in a bit early if it's a remote proceeding. There are two ways to register your arrival at court, at the counter or the check-in kiosk. After you've registered and arrived at the appointed court, wait for the court attendant to call you in. If it's not your turn yet, you can either stay outside in the waiting area or sit in the public gallery inside your appointed courtroom and listen to the current session. If the appointed time arrives and your case hasn't been called yet, the previous case may have gone over on time. Like hospital clinics, courts hear several cases every day. So please be patient. You can check the progress of the previous case on the court's website or on the LCD monitors outside the court. After entering the courtroom, please remain silent and be respectful. Court procedures and your rights. Taking pictures, video, and making audio recordings in the courtroom is not permitted. If required, you can apply for a CD recording from the court after proceedings are complete. Now I'll take you on a tour of the courtroom. At the front is the judge's bench. Below the judge are the court clerk and the court interpreter. In the center is the witness stand. The victim and the prosecutor are on the right. The defendant and their agent ad litem are on the left. Witnesses and other relevant persons are in the spectator gallery waiting to testify. When called upon, enter the seat designated for the defendant. The judge will check some of your basic information with you, including your name, date of birth, and residential address, and ensure that you are not bound to the will of external parties. Then they will announce the cause of action and inform you of your rights. We advise you to write out a clear answer to the complaint and submit it to the court. When you appear in court, you should address the main points to ensure the court's time is used effectively. The judge will ask you to clarify anything they have questions about. If you're unsure as to your ability to explain clearly, you can provide written documents to supplement your testimony. Please respect the right of others to explain themselves. Do not interrupt them. If you want to counter, please raise your hand. You may speak again with the judge's permission. In court, the clerk will make a written record of the main points of the proceedings. Everyone will have a computer monitor to view this record. If you discover an error or a misunderstanding in this record, you can report it immediately. During a trial, defendants have the right to remain silent. You can choose not to answer when questioned, as you shouldn't be compelled to make statements that don't conform with what you think. In the preliminary proceeding, the prosecutor will explain the facts of the crime, and the judge will explain the details of the complaint and the response. The judge will ask you if you wish to express opinions on the evidence offered up and the facts as described by the prosecutor. Both you and the prosecutor can ask for additional evidence to be investigated, and the court will define the scope and method for this. The judge will collate this and list the points of contention and agreement between both parties. During the trial process, the prosecutor will explain the cause of action, and you can respond. At this time, both parties will cross-examine relevant witnesses and experts to verify the evidence obtained in the investigation. After the evidence has been investigated, you and the prosecutor will debate your guilt. Then the two sides will discuss sentencing. The judge will ask you to make your final statement. If the verdict has not been handed down by the court yet, the judge will inform the court of the next court date and location. If the judge thinks that the evidence has been sufficiently investigated, he will announce the conclusion of oral arguments. The judge will then choose a date to announce the verdict. If you are found guilty, they will confirm the crime and the sentence. The court will publish the main text of the judgment on the day after it is announced, and you can find it on the Judicial UN's website. Giving testimony in court is not as difficult as you might imagine. So let's uphold justice together.
sa ating dalawa.
Itong susunod naman na ating ibabanggit ay tungkol ito sa Enhanced Employer and Foreign Worker Awareness of Personal Data Protection. There are three key points. Number one, suitable security measures should be taken to prevent the theft, tampering with, destruction, or leaking of personal data. As part of a product promotion, a certain company gives a free gift to everyone who provides the data of three other people. As a result, foreign worker M leaks the personal data of three foreign migrant worker friends, resulting in them being targeted by telephone sales promotion. Ito ay about naman sa merong mga tao na nagsisell sila ng mga SIM card, or meron din mga ibang tao na nagbibigay ng free survey. Basta pag nag-survey ka lang at magsulat ka ng mga informations, meron silang mga binibigay na free gift. So ito ay delikado dahil madali din ito makakuha ng informations galing sa iyo. So wag ho natin ito gagawin. Number two, the collection, processing, or use of personal data must be in accordance with the management procedures details in the Personal Data Protection Act, like a live-in foreign care worker directly streams online her day taking care of a senior. The portraits are also personal data, and as such, live streaming of photographing another person without their permission and posting that to an online platform is a violation of the Personal Data Protection Act. So, minsan yung ibang kababayan natin na nagtatake ng picture na kasama yung kanilang mga alaga, ito ay hindi rin kasi allowed dahil yung alaga ninyo hindi actually gusto na makasama sila sa inyong mga picture. Ito ay kasama din to sa personal data na nagbibigay ng informations ng ibang tao. Kasi tayo ay pinupost pa rin natin sa mga social media o sa mga ibang platform na anong ginagawa ko ng alaga ninyo. So ito ay hindi rin gusto ng mga employers na gawin ho natin or ipost natin sa mga public area. Number three, family-based workers, employers and other family members should acknowledge verbally or in writing their obligation to keep personal data confidential. Like a care worker hired by a well-known internet celebrity provides details on the medical conditions of his or her employer's son to the media. Ito ay nangyari dahil merong isang kababayan natin na caretaker na pinost niya tungkol dun sa anak ng celebrity at ito ay hindi allowed dahil pinoprotect ng mga celebrity yung mga kanilang anak. Ayaw nila palabas yung mukha ng mga anak nila. Kaya ito ay kasama din ito sa Personal Data Act na protektado din yung mga ganyang klaseng cases. So, reminder for employers and labor brokers. Kasama na din dito ang ating manpower agency or broker. In a situation where specific personal information is collected in violation of the law or without a designated objective, the local government will fine those responsible 50,000 to 500,000 NT dollar and other improvements be made within a fixed time period. Failure to make the required improvements will result in a second fine, then a third fine, etc. Individual who violates the Personal Data Protection Act leading to the illegal use of such data are liable for damages and face a fine of 500 NT dollar to 2 million. So if you have any question, call the 1-855 hotline or seek the assistance of the local government in the area where you work. So nalaman niyo na mga kababayan kung halimbawa meron tayong isa dito na ilabas natin yung mga klaseng informations. Ang penalty ho niyan ay 50,000 to 500,000 NT dollar. At kung halimbawa nangyari pa sa atin yan ulit at nangyari ay malaking damages, so ang magiging penalty niyan ay mas malaki, umaabot na sa $500,000 to $2 million. Kaya mga kababayan, yung mga ating ginagawa ay mag-iingat ho tayo sa bawat kilos natin kasi itong mga ating trabaho ay konektado din sa Personal Data Act. Kung halimbawa na leak or nailabas natin yung mga ganyan informations ay napakalaki pong epektado sa ating mga employers. Kaya kung halimbawa ayaw nila na magpa-picture or ayaw nila isabihin yung mga kanilang mga informations, na wag na wag ho tayo magpo-post nang hindi ho tayo nagsasabi sa kanila. So ito ay isang another reminder sa mga kababayan ho natin na nag-work sa bahay, especially sa mga factory naman. Ang kanilang napakadaling mangyari is dala nila yung mga kanilang cellphone sa loob ng factory, sa kanilang production line. So pag once nagkaroon sila ng mga picture taking dun sa loob ng factory or nakiki-charge lang kayo ng battery sa computer, ito ay napakadaling makakuha ng mga data. Kung halimbawa merong virus na pumasok doon, pwede na ho mailabas yung mga importanteng data sa loob ng company. Ay napakalaki po tong violations, kaya might be pwede ho tayo nila kasuhan or yun nga, i-revoke ang ating hiring permit. Kaya iwasan ho natin itong mangyari. If kayo ay merong mga labor dispute problem, pwede ho kayo tumawag sa 1-855, mag-file ho tayo ng complaint at ang labor ho mag-check nito kung merong violations na pangyayari. Meron binuksan na informations para ho sa ating mga kababayan tungkol sa sino man may gusto magpa-vaccine ng flu. So, flu vaccine for all. Peace of mind at work after vaccinated to reduce the possibility of infection. Question 1. Can foreigners get vaccinated before issuance of residence visa? Starting from January 1, 2025, the influenza vaccination will continue to be provided free to the public as part of an expanded program for 2024. Foreigners in the waiting period for the issuance of a residence visa, they just need to present the temporary visa in hard copy or the receipt for processing the application of residence visa as proof to obtain vaccination. Those who are not yet qualified for the National Health Insurance Program may get vaccinated at the expense of individual entitles. out of pocket or by the employer's concern. Question 2. How to effectively resist the flu? 5 fundamental principles. Number 1. Get vaccinated as soon as possible. Number 2. Wash hands with soap. Cough behind a face mask. And make it a habit in daily lives. 3. Be aware of any flu symptoms. 4. Take medications and sufficient bed rest when sick. Do not attend class or work. Number 5. Get medical attention as quickly as possible on detection of any sign of hazard for the effective aversion and prevention of epidemic infection. For additional information on flu vaccination, visit the official website of CDC at www.cdc.gov.tw or contact the local public health authorities. So, narinig na mga kababayan, dahil nga yung ibang mga tao dito kakapasok lang sa Taiwan, siguro wala pa mga ARC o kaya especially sa mga estudyante na hindi pa nagkakaroon ng ARC. So, kung halimbawa kayo ay on processing o kaya naghihintay pa lang ng ARC ninyo, yung iyong residence visa nga dito sa Taiwan, yung tinatawag nga na Alien Residence Certificate. So, ito ay pwede pa rin i-show sa hospital or sa any clinic na gusto nyo magpa-vaccine ng influenza virus vaccination. So, pwede pa rin ho kayo magpa-vaccine maski na wala pa rin kayong hawak na National Health Card. Tandaan nyo ho yun, okay? So, yun nga, dahil itong panahon na to ay usong-uso ang influenza virus dun sa mga sakitan. So, para makaiwas ho tayo ma-infected, eh, dapat tayo ilaksan natin ang sarili natin para dapat tayo magpa-vaccine para lumakas nga yung ating immune system natin. So, ito ay para sa lahat ng mga merong ARC din dito sa mga new immigrant or dun sa mga migrant workers natin at saka dun sa mga foreign students natin dito sa Taiwan. Siyempre, mga kababayan natin, kung sino mga nakikinig dito sa ating programa, eh welcome ho kayo magpumunta sa hospital para magpa-vaccine, okay?
Kayo ba, mga kababayan, nakaranas na kayo na nahawaan tayo ng dengue? Upang maiwasan ang dengue, mangyaring sumailalim sa self-health management ng 14 days. Matapos dumating sa Taiwan, upang maiwasan ang paglaganap ng dengue sa Taiwan, kung ikaw ay nakaranas ng lagnat, pananakit ng ulo at sa likod ng mga mata, pananakit ng kalamnan o sa kasukasuan, pananakit ng buto o sintomas ng rashes sa nakaraan 14th na araw matapos dumating sa Taiwan, mangyari ipagbigay alam ito sa inyong mga employer o ahente upang agarang makahingi ng tulong sa medication. Sa oras ng makaranas ng mga sintomas ng dengue, ang mga employer o ahente ay dapat nang agarang tumulong sa mga pangailangan sa inyong medical. Maari pa ring manatili sa Taiwan upang matuloy na magtrabaho. Hindi pinapayagan ang mga employer na ang dahil sa dengue ay pauwiin ang migranting manggagawa or i-terminate ang kanilang kontrata. Ito ay nanggagaling sa Ministry of Labor at Ministry Health and Welfare. Kaya mga kababayan, halimbawa tayo ay nakapasok nga dito sa Taiwan at sa loob ng 14th na araw, kung halimbawa meron kayong mga kilalang relatives or friends na kakagaling lang nila sa Pilipinas at na papunta dito sa Taiwan, within 14 days, kung meron mga sintomas na una-una ay merong lagnat, masakit ang ulo at sa likod ng mga mata, or na susuka, masakit ang buto, or ang sintomas niya ay merong mga rashes, pwede niyo ho ito sabihin sa inyong mga employers or brokers para ipa-medical ho tayo. At tandaan ho natin, hindi tayo pwedeng paalisin sa trabaho o i-terminate nila tayo pauwiin sa Pilipinas dahil tayo ay merong karapatan mag-continuous magtrabaho dito sa Taiwan. Pero syempre, kailangan ipa-medical muna tayo para ma-treatment tayo kagad. Tandaan lang ho natin ito.
At ang susunod naman, about ito sa monkeypox, na kailangan ho natin lahat na malaman. Dahil simula noong July 5, the Ministry of Health and Welfare expanded the population of target recipients eligible to receive the monkeypox vaccine and called on those who are eligible to get a job as soon as possible. If you have recently engaged in risky sexual behavior or been exposed to an individual at risk of being infected with monkeypox, you can directly book an appointment to receive a vaccine shot at the medical facility. Protect yourself, protect your friends, protect your family. Find the nearest medical facility. Alam nyo kasi mga kababayan, recently meron nakitang case na monkeypox sa Taiwan. Karamihan na kababayan natin akala itong monkeypox ay bulutong. Pero sa totoo lang, dahil itong monkeypox, hindi lang siya sa katawan natin tumutubo. Pati na din dun sa, bukod dun sa paa at kamay, sa mukha, sa bibig, at dun sa ari natin, tumutubo din siya. Kaya ito ay pwede din mahawaan kung halimbawa ang sexual behavior natin ay kung sino-sino at paano-paano na hindi natin kilala, ito ay possible din to mahawa natin. At saka, alam nyo ba, pag halimbawa tayo ay nagkaroon ng monkeypox, bukod dun sa lalabas na bulutong sa mukha natin, sa katawan, magkakaroon din siya ng fever, masakit ang ulo, at naghihina ka. Bukod doon, ang lympho node mo sa buong katawan ay lalaki. At masakit ang muscle pain mo, back, at doon sa halimbawa tumubo doon sa bandang ari natin, una muna sa sakit yung rectum dahil parang mamaga siya. At halimbawa iihi tayo, masakit din siya ang pag-iihi natin. Kaya mabuti na kung halimbawa kayo ay naisipan nyo na meron kayong ganyan symptoms, magpatingin tayo kagad sa doktor. Or kung halimbawa kung kayo ay nasa environment na ito ay possibility, high possibility or high risky na environment, eh mabuti na kayo para ma-prevent nyo magkaroon kayo ng monkeypox. Magkaroon kayo muna ng vaccine na dalawang shots, no? Kasi ito ay pwede na magkaroon ng vaccine sa Taiwan. Kailangan nyo lang magpa-appointment. Kaya kung halimbawa for more informations, maglalagay kami ng QR code dun sa website, sa official website ng Ministry of Labor or dito sa Ministry Health and Welfare. Pwede kayo mismo na magpa-appointment. Hindi nyo na kailangan mag-register. For more informations, pwede nyo bisitahin ang website sa cdc.gov.tw. Regarding ito sa MPOX, yun yung ibig sabihin na monkeypox. Okay?
Tapos na ang lahat, nandito pa rin ako. Hetong nakatala sa mundo, sa mundo. Kikita mga pangarap ko para sa'yo, para sa'yo.
kababayan, nangyari na ba sa inyo na nagkaroon kayo ng labor dispute problem with your employers or with your agency or broker? So just in case na meron, so nag-file na ho kayo ng complaint sa labor, sigurado ho yun kung kayo ay merong mga labor dispute problem, kasi yun lagi nga ho ina-announce namin. Kasi kung kayo ay mga merong problema, pwede ho kayo tumawag sa 1-855. So natatandaan nyo ho yun, yun yung lagi ina-announce ni kaibigan Jay. So ngayon, kung halimbawa napapunta na ang case sa labor at inaasikaso na nga ho ng labor, minsan tinatawag ho kayo ng labor sa office para magkaroon ng meeting. Ngayon, pag kayo ay nagkaroon ng meeting, kung halimbawa hindi kayo agree o kaya si employer or agency hindi rin agree sa pagdesisyon ho natin. Kasi ang labor talagang role naman nila ay mag-meet in the middle. So mag-mediate siya usually between you with your employer or with you with your agency or broker. Pero pag halimbawa hindi nagkaroon ng successful, hindi kayo nagkaroon ng agreement, kayo ay meron pang another choice. Dahil pag sinabi ng labor na pasensya na, hindi ko kayo kaya i-mediate na pareho kayo ay satisfied. So, possible na hindi na rin kaya ng labor asikasuhin yung inyong problema. Merong mga ganong problema talaga na kailangan pa natin isampa sa mas mataas na department. Yun nga ho yun, akit tayo sa korte na kung halimbawa hindi na kaya ng labor. So, meron pa rin mga labor dispute problem na pwede pa rin isampa sa korte. Kasi halimbawa talagang hindi kaya isolve ng labor itong inyong mga problema, meron ho kayong choice na dalhin nga ho or isampa ang inyong kaso sa korte. So, ito ho ang first step na halimbawa kayo ay kailangan isampa ho ang kaso nyo sa korte. Number one, it is possible to apply for mediation or to initiate proceeding for labor disputes with the court where the defendant's residence, main business premise, or main office is located, or where the labor service is rendered within its jurisdiction. If the employer initiates proceeding or applies for mediation, the worker can apply for removing the case to a chosen court having jurisdiction from the aforesaid competent court. Pwede kayo humanap ng pinakamalapit sa inyong korte at isampa nga ho yung kaso ho ninyo. So, mediation first. Before initiating proceedings, it is necessary to apply for labor dispute mediation first. It is proceedings are initiated without mediation. It is deemed as an application for labor disputes mediation. However, it is possible to choose between applying for mediation or initiating proceedings directly in the following circumstances. Number one, where mediation by another legally authorized mediatory agency has been sought with no successful result, where a counterclaim is made, or where the notice arriving at the other party was serviced by publication or in a foreign country. Number two, where the dispute arose due to sexual harassment. So, bago nyo nga isampa sa korte ang inyong kaso, magkakaroon pa rin kayo ng mediation. Pero kung halimbawa, merong dalawang reasons na pwede na i-direct kagad isampa sa korte. Isa na doon, yung halimbawa hindi kayo nag-successful ang pagkaka-meeting ho natin at kailangan na dalin or kailangan na siya pumunta sa ibang country para mapabilis nga ho yung pagkaka-decision ng court, isa yon. Another reason ay meron ito'y sexual harassment. Itong mga reasons na to ay pwede nang direct isampa sa korte. So, paano isampa to sa court? Okay, a pleading must be submitted for the application for mediation or the initiation of proceedings for labor dispute. However, if the claim amount or the value is below 500,000, the pleading for the application of mediation or the initiation of proceedings may be submitted orally to the court clerk.
So, kailangan nyo siguro na dito ng legal advice, no? Kailangan nyo na kasi ng lawyer para gumawa ng letter ho sa inyo. At itong amount na to, kung halimbawa ang hinihingi mong compensation ay below 500,000, kailangan ito i-note sa korte. Or pwede nang hindi na to igawan ng letter, i-verbally or salitaan mo na lang ang mangyayari dito sa korte, hindi mo na kailangan magsulat. Kasi minsan, pag halimbawa, mas mahigit pa dun sa 500,000 amount yung ating mga kailangan isang panakaso. Usually, kailangan talaga gumawa ng letter na manggagaling yun talaga sa lawyer ang magsusulat. So, meron siyang mga certain fee, no? An application fee shall be paid for submitting an application for mediation. So, ang amount niya, kung halimbawa 100,000 below, yan application na yan ay free. Pero pag halimbawa lumampas na siya ng 100,000 under 1 million, meron siyang bayad na halagang application fee ay 1,000. So, depends ho yan sa amount. When initiating proceedings, it is necessary to pay for the court fee. However, a worker only needs to pay 1/3. Of the court fee if the employment relation has been established or if the claim is for wage, pension, or severance payment, the remaining 2/3 of the court fee is temporarily exempted and shall be paid by the party who loses in the proceedings. So, siyang magbabayad ng 2/3 na amount na halimbawa natalo or natalo kayo sa korte. Kaya yung 1/3, yun yung amount na sinabi ko nga ho. Kung halimbawa 100,000 below, yun po ay fee, ay libre. Pero kung halimbawa amount niya na compensation na hinihiling mo, more than 100,000 and 1 million below, yan 1/3 na yan magiging 1,000 lang. So, yung 2/3, the rest of the fee ay mangyayari yan sa magbabayad dun sa sitong natalo doon sa korte. So, if the application fee is not affordable, it is possible to apply for litigation aids. Once approved, the application fee and the court fee shall be exempted. So, step 2, litigation procedures. It is required to present necessary facts and evidences voluntarily or when asked by the court. If proceedings are sought after the unsuccessful mediation, the judge responsible for the mediation shall review the case based on the facts and evidence presented in the process of labor dispute mediation. If it is necessary for a worker to present documents provided by an employer as evidence, such as wage list, attendance records, a request can be submitted to the court to require the employer to provide such documents. So, kung halimbawa nga ho ang minimediate natin dito or ang sinasampa natin kaso ay regarding sa ating mga time record, yung ating payslip, yan ay pwede nating ihiling ng documents na yan sa employers natin at kailangan nila yan i-provide. And then, step 3, litigation procedures. Number 1, settle or successful referral for mediation. Number 2, judgment. So, sa huli nga, depende na yan ngayon kung kayo, halimbawa, na-find out nga ho, merong isa dito sa inyo ay talo, siya, pwede siyang pumili na makipag under the table sa inyo na magkaroon ng mediation. Yung magbabayad na lang siya under the court na yon, hindi na yun nakalagay sa pag-uusap. Kasi pag halimbawa natalo nga siya, magkakaroon siya ng punishment. Sigurado ho yun. Pero yan ay depende sa inyo kung kayo'y gusto makipag-mediation dito sa nanalo. Magbibigay na lang kayo ng pera instead na kayo ay magkakaroon ng punishment. So, naintindihan niyo ho? For more information, pwede kayo mag-search sa website. Hanapin niyo sa website ang fw.wda.gov.ph TW. Hanapin nyo yung kanilang nakalagay doon, How to Resolve Labor Disputes in Court. Okay? So, makikita nyo ho yan, procedures na yan, para malaman nyo step by step. Kung halimbawa, yan ay kailangan nyo isang pangaho sa korte. Meron kasing mga ibang problemas, katulad ng pagdating sa wages natin, yung ating payslip, tsaka yung mga nakukuha natin salary, yung mga overtime natin, hindi natin nakukuha lahat, at tsaka dun sa ating time record, yung time in, time out record natin. Pag yan ay hindi kayo nagkaroon ng successful na meeting sa labor, yun, it's about time na baka gusto niyo siya isampa sa korte. Yun ay medyo mas higher na kaso na ho, sakalang ho napapadaan na sa korte. Kaya papag-isipan nyo maigi yan dahil una-una, ang magkakaroon ngayon dyan ay yung panahon ninyo. Dahil alam nyo, pag once nagsampa kayo sa korte, kailangan nyo mag-provide ng mga evidences. Isa na yon. Pangalawa, limbawa, kailangan na may hearing, kailangan nyo pumunta mag-appear sa korte. Kailangan nyo mag-file ng leave din sa factory or sa inyong trabaho para lang mag-appear sa korte. Yan ay hindi isang buwan or dalawang buwan lang ho, matatapos na. Yan ay medyo matagal. Hindi natin masasabi gano'ng katagal, pero matagal siya. Okay? So, kailangan meron din kayong panahon at pasyensya pag once ito ay nagsampa kayo sa korte. Pero, syempre, meron pa rin kayong makihingi ng tulong sa mga legal advice aid. For more information, pwede nga ho kayo pumunta sa website ng Labor Department. Ang website ay fww.wda.gov.tw. Minsan, kayo ay pwede tumawag sa 1-955 humingi nga ako ng consultation. Pero minsan, sasabihin sa inyo ng 1-955, yan ay pwede lang nila maitulong sa inyo yung regarding sa labor dispute problem nyo sa labor. Okay? For more informations, kung kailangan nyo na talaga ng judicial processing, kailangan nyo ng legal advice. Hingi ho kayo ng legal advice aid. Hingi nyo yung kanilang contact number. So, pwede nyo ho yun hingin sa 1-955 at maibibigay ho nila yun sa inyo, yung number na yan ng legal advice aid. Okay ho?
Let me teach you some Mandarin Chinese. When the person receiving care is feeling unwell, you can take the initiative and ask, 你哪里不舒服? Repeat after me, 你哪里不舒服? When the person receiving care needs to use the toilet, you may say, 好,我带你去. Repeat after me, 好,我带你去. It's time to eat. Ask the person receiving care whether he wants to have his meal. You may say, 请问要吃饭了吗? Repeat after me, 请问要吃饭了吗? Let us recap the three useful sentences we learned today. 你哪里不舒服? 好,我带你去. 请问要吃饭了吗? If you have any language problems, please call 1-955 Foreign Workers Free Hotline. Our consultant will provide interpreting services. For more information about working in Taiwan and Mandarin Chinese learning materials, please visit Taiwan Workforce Development Agency information site.
Ang
programang Feel at Home Ka Dito ay handog ng Ministry of Labor, Workforce Development Agency at binuo ng Taiwan Broadcasting Company, Bing Zhi Ru Gui, Fei Xiang Manila. Maraming salamat po sa pakikinig ninyo.